these my words for your instruction and your encouragement today. Let the Holy Spirit dwell in us as we hear words from you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You might want to find the passage, because we're going to have a look at it a little bit. So Revelation 8, verses 1 to 5. So we continue our series that we had started last week. Last week, Phil introduced us to the importance of praying together. And Jimmy, I think, spoke with great wisdom as he talked about prayer as a priority. The conclusion is that we simply must pray. So as we've been thinking about together, what we're going to be doing now is thinking about why we should pray together, this idea of corporate prayer. And I want to suggest that it's ordained or prescribed. It's prescribed by God for his people, such that as we pray together, the combined prayer, that urging, those things which we do confidently or less confidently, accelerate the purposes of God for us in the world. Think about that for a moment, that we might influence God's purposes here. And of course, this isn't just about end times, although the Revelations passage is very much reflecting on those times at the end, but it is about the now. Of course, that's a big claim. One writer, after studying the New Testament pattern of corporate prayer, wrote, "The early church didn't have a prayer meeting. The early church was the prayer meeting. In fact, in the early church, every Christian was a prayer meeting Christian." And I think we need that renewal of prayer for that church, and I'm talking about the worldwide church, because it is the power that unleashes God's will. Revelation 8, verse 1. "When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour." The Apostle John tells us of the things that he sees, inspired by God, and in the midst of these earth-shattering events, there is this wonderful sound in heaven, and a lesson about prayer is made open for us all to see. The prayers of all people are seen here as an instrument God uses to bring the world to its appointed end. Like the climax to the Game of Thrones, watched by everyone, apparently, except a few of us who didn't get to see it. Or, perhaps more importantly, when Nigel Pargeter was killed off in The Archers. Do you remember that? Yeah, much more important, I think. There just seems to be this wonderful crescendo of earth-shattering events of a significance which we just can't imagine, where God's work is done and the earth is changed forever. Revelation 8, verse 3. "And another angel came and stood at the altar with the golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne." Our prayers culminating in God's will through change. How wonderfully exciting. As I was thinking about this, I wondered what I would put on a list of things I'd want God to change. Didn't take me very long. I included Brexit. You would all have that on your list, I'm sure. Climate change, rainforests in Brazil, hurricanes in the Caribbean and the east coast of the United States. This idea, this tragedy of separation politics by governments, or injustice, or in Great Western Park, wouldn't it be wonderful to see more people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their God and Savior? All about if we just pray together. But then, of course, on my piece of paper, I didn't quite write this, but I said, do I believe it? Could I quite think that God could do this for us? And I guess, being honest, I sort of struggle a little bit with that. Not in the sovereignty of God, not in God's power, but that he'd want me to pray to him, and that through that prayer and through the prayer of all of us, things might change. But of course, we see that happening all the time. It's just that when I think about it in the terms of the things that we've just talked about, in terms of those global things, I sometimes wonder. Perhaps I'm just weak, wondering if God would act on me, a simple, hopeless sinner. Not that we should stop praying, however. When we got home from being away for a couple of weeks, it was quite late and it was dark, but I always look at our pot plants, which need to be looked after and tended. And our lodger, Mal, had been looking after them, but it looked like they hadn't seen water for many, many days, like the rest of the garden. So at 1 o'clock in the morning, I found the watering can, and I poured water on these poor pot plants. And immediately the water just slid off the top. It was so hard that the water didn't go in. So in a way, what do? You keep at it. And then somehow the water slowly gets in. And the morning after, the geraniums and petunias looked a whole lot better. This is, I think, an image, if you like, of the need for us to keep at it, to keep praying for God. Not because he's waiting for us to pray it 100 times or anything like that. He doesn't keep score. But the weight of our prayer just somehow gets in and things change. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. That comes from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. But let's go back to the passage for a moment. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought out into the open. It says that in Luke chapter 8. So it begins when the seventh scroll is opened, as Pip read for us. This is the final seal, the last of seven, described by John in chapter 5. And he cried over because no one could open it. Why? Well, no one in heaven, not the cherubim that continually declare God's glory, not the resplendent Gabriel, God's special messenger, not even the mighty archangel Michael, God's heavenly warrior, could open the scroll. Well, John declares that when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. So when it finally gets open, there is this just drawing of breath and this silence. So what's in it? Well, it seems to contain the unfolding of human history. Its opening would be the final chapter from which God sorts things out. But someone calls out, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? John weeps because no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. This pause is intentional. The elders that John sees as part of this revelation tell him, do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals. It comes from Revelation 5, verse 5. Only Jesus, the Lamb of God, is able to do that. And when the call goes out, he is the one that steps forward. Why? Because of Jesus' death on the cross for us. The idea that he ransoms himself for us, such that the multitude of saints, including ourselves, are able to triumph and our prayers heard. The cross somehow is the key to human history. What happened 2,000 years ago unlocks the future for us and that revelation of God's plan. The seventh seal is now opened and God's plan comes about. In chapter 6, it records what happens as Jesus cracks open the seal, and as each opens, the earth is shaken to its core. humanity is finally brought to order. But first there is silence. Be silent before the sovereign God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated those he has invited. That comes from Zechariah. So in 8 verse 1, as the Lamb Jesus breaks the last remaining seal of the scroll, God's judgment speeds up, preparing the way for the second coming. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth. And there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. Verse 5. After the silence comes the action. I think somehow they get to draw breath because John and us are being shown that all of the things that we do, all of our prayers, are being listened to, that our prayers really matter. Again, praying together accelerates the fulfillment of God's purpose. All we need to do is to believe it. The words that we offer, sometimes just out of a frail hope and little expectation, have reached their destination. The water has got down into the soil, and there is a flowering again in this last final event. Chronicles 2. Now my eyes will be opened and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. And so there is this idea that all of the saints, verse 3, and another angel comes and stood at the altar with a golden censer, and he was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne. Notice that it includes all of us, that they are all placed on the altar. I think this is a wonderful picture, really, in a way. If you wonder where our prayers go, this image is about them sitting on this golden altar. And in a way, not lost. Seems possible for God to remember all our prayers. If we can invent a little chip that can record terabytes of data, why can't God remember all of our prayers? Why can't he place them all in a throne in front of him, ready to be answered? So this is a picture that we're given of God changing everything and bringing about his purpose, not just for the end of time, but also on the 8th of September. What are our prayers for him today? These come about because we pray. Your prayers are preserved, protected, and deposited before the throne of God on a golden altar. It's a wonderful image, I think, for us to hold the power through us that God unleashes. I think what these verses in Revelation teach us is that the prayers that we offer to God are that instrument that he uses to affect his purpose. Our prayers somehow change the tempo of history. Not one God-exalting prayer has ever been offered in vain. None of them are lost. None of them are wasted, measured without worth or pointless. None are forgotten. And again, cumulatively heard in the very throne of God, placed on the golden altar. I think we need to be reminded as a church that we need to pray together in one place. It needs to be as vital as the water I offer my pot plants. We need simply to do it, as natural somehow as breathing. Imagine what we might achieve if we came together to pray more. So let our silence be about standing in awe of him as he acts, rather than the silence because we failed to pray. Amen. So let's just pray. Let's just commit.